My source of light that holds me through all darkness is the Lord. In this I hold strong, and when fear comes my way, I journey through trusting the light. In war and hunger, in wickedness and powerlessness, when I stumble and when I fall, I reach out towards the light that leads me through this darkness. And of all the things I could ask, only one thing I ask of the Lord, that I might follow this light, and that it will lead me into love's presence and the house of peace. Yet I know, even as I walk through trouble, love is my companion, my shelter, my rock. This is my continual joy, and my heart rejoices like music in my soul forever. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to have you all with us this morning. A warm welcome to any visitors we have with us this morning. I hope you enjoy your time with us, and please join us through in the hall afterwards if you can for some tea and coffee and biscuits and whatever else we might find through there. The order of service, which I've inadvertently left sitting on the desk in the vestry, so I've got no idea what's in it, has lots of intimations, which I'm sure you'll find interesting. Maybe I know one or two that are in there that I will highlight. We still have our holiday club running on a Tuesday morning, so a wee reminder, if you've got children or grandchildren staying with you this week and you want to keep them occupied for a couple of hours, then Abby, Clay and Alison will gladly keep them occupied for you for a couple of hours this week. Similarly, on Friday afternoon, we have a family film show. We're going to be watching Inside Out, and it's for anybody who'd like to come and see a movie. It's a lovely film. It's one of these films that's made for two levels, so the children get their kind of story, but there's stuff through there that us older people might recognise and have a good chuckle at the same time. So that's 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon if you want to pop in and join in for that too. I head off this afternoon for 12 nights with the Army Cadets, the 2nd Battalion, the local cadet battalion here in the northeast. We're down in Ballybuddin, so I'm not very far away, but I just want to say that while I'm away, I am working. So if you need to contact me for anything, please feel free to email me, or if you phone the office, they'll be able to pass a message on to me. Don't feel that because I'm away that I'm not available to you. Please feel free to contact me if you require to do so. I will leave you to read everything else that's in the order of service with regards to intimations. Last Sunday we lamented. To this Sunday we come with a psalm of praise, a psalm of confidence. So from lament to praise, the psalmist twists and turns. Light, salvation, protection, shelter. With shouts of joy we rejoice and sing our praises. We trust in the Lord and will not be afraid. Come, worship our God. We stand to sing hymn 535, Who Would True Valor See?
Thank you.
We turn now to God in prayer. Let us pray. From the mountaintop experiences of life, we praise you, God of the mountaintop. Yet also in the darkest of deep, dark valleys, you are worthy of praise too. And so we open our public, communal service of worship in simple adoration of who you are, God, our light and our salvation. Just as we are with our highs and lows, our celebrations and our tribulations, we come and offer our praise to you. You are the God who often brings light to dark places. You are our Lord who rescues us from many a trouble. You are our Creator and Redeemer who gives us confidence and strengthens us amidst fear and weakness. As we gather in the house of the people of God, help us to sing out loud and clear, bold and vibrant. Assist us in taking other songs of praise on our lips and singing them with dynamism in our hearts. Yes, there is much to fear in our world, Lord, yet in you we shall not fear. Many a trial does threaten to overwhelm us, but in you there is security. In days of trouble, we can lose our nerve. So hear our voices when we call, Lord. We call upon you now. We call upon you here. We call upon you as one. And so hear our prayer as we pray together those so familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. We sing again, and this time we sing the oh-so-familiar hymn 563, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know.
Today's reading comes from the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, verses 1 to 6, and you can find this on page 551 of the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. The Lord protects me from all danger. I will never be afraid. When evil people attack me and try to kill me, they stumble and fall. Even if a whole army surrounds me, I will not be afraid. Even if enemies attack me, I will still trust God. I have asked the Lord for one thing. One thing only do I want: to live in the Lord's house all my life, to marvel there at his goodness, and to ask for his guidance. In times of trouble, he will shelter me. He will keep me safe in his temple and make me secure on a high rock. So I will triumph over my enemies around me. With shouts of joy, I will offer sacrifices in his temple. I will sing. I will praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Anne, for reading our psalm to us. We're now going to sing the words of that psalm as set in hymn number 22 in our hymn books. People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With the Psalms, we bring into awareness an ancient sorrow, we release a latent joy, and we use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and thoroughly as we are able. It was a quote I shared with you last week from the InterVarsity website. Last week, we began our exploration of the Psalms by considering a psalm of lament, and indeed we lamented together. I said last week that lamenting was something that we as a church have got out of the habit of doing, but something that can be helpful. Today, we continue with a psalm of praise, back in a more comfortable style of worship, I suggest. Our psalm we heard is a prayer of praise, praising God for being there, praising God for his protection. The psalm speaks to me of a protector God, a God in whom we can find refuge when the going gets tough, The world is crowding in and the pressure is on. And this psalm is spoken by someone who trusts God, has confidence in God. This isn't a psalm crying out for help, rather one where the writer calls out to God in praise. It's not a joyous praise, but more of a thankful praise. Because the writer isn't necessarily in a good place, but he knows God is with them, and he places his confidence in knowing that. The words he used reflect this confidence. He talks about the stronghold the Lord has made, and the psalmist declares that he will fear no one. He will never be afraid, believing that the Lord protects me from all danger. Hopefully, at some stage, all of us have encountered such confidence and assurance. Certainly, hymn after hymn that we sing in church encourages us to sing as the psalmist says he should sing. Think about blessed assurance. We have an anchor, steadfast and sure. Courage, brother, sister, do not stumble. Repeatedly, Christians have praised God for the strength he gives, the courage he inspires. Because we all experience tough times, times when we must wonder if we can ever climb out of the dark pit we find ourselves in. And it's at these times we really can trust God to be there for us. But we have to have the confidence to acknowledge this and then receive the blessed relief his presence gives. These dark places can often turn into what we experience as a thin place, a time when the nearness of God is as close as it gets. And one writer explains this very well, the Reverend Dr. Agnes Norfleet. In a sermon she wrote on this psalm, she explains the Celtic idea of thin places. The early Celtic people who lived in the British Isles believed that they could go to certain places to be closer to God. And these places have long been called thin places. Thin places are geographical locations scattered throughout Ireland and Scotland where a person experiences only a very thin divide between the past, present, and future. Now that's referring to physical places. But she goes on to say this: what is significant about sacred places that they turn out not to be the places themselves that are important. Their power lies within their role in marshalling our inner resources and binding us to our beliefs. While places can bind us to our beliefs, so can memory. A piece of music, a special story, a word spoken just at the right time. And my guess is, if we think about it, most of us have experienced a thin place in which we can remember God seeming very close and very real. There are certain passages of scripture that are especially helpful in transporting us to a special place with God in our time, she continues. The words and images of Psalm 27 lead us to such a place, a kind of thin place where human and divine meet in a beautiful closeness. The psalmist knew all about thin places. He had experienced them and has the confidence to seek them out. How many of us ever seek out a thin place? A place where we can be as close to God as we can be. Some people find church is the place that happens most. Perhaps during worship, or perhaps even sitting quietly in church. Our psalm refers to living in the Lord's house and expresses a desire to live there all their life. The psalmist is, of course, referring to the temple in Jerusalem. And it was thought, the Jews of ancient Israel thought and believed that God was in that temple, that that's where he was found, where he was worshipped. Now, we have a very different understanding. God's not contained in a box or a room or even a building, because God cannot be contained in a box, a room, or a building. But that said, often our thin place will be here in this building. But I wonder if that's because that's where we put God, compartmentalizing him so that this is the only place that we go looking for him. What we miss when we do that, because God is out there and in here. Another writer, Dorothy Bass, writes, often we ask one another, how was your day? I imagine all parents of school-aged children have greeted their child with that question, how was your day? Or one very much like it. It's a kind of question that usually comes from someone who really cares, but is often met with a very vague response like, not bad. And then she tells a story of a mother who she knows who had a quite a different way of asking the question. As she tucks her children into bed each night, their teeth brushed and their hair still damp from the bathtub, she asks them this question, where did you meet God today? And they tell her, one by one, a teacher helped me. There was a homeless person in the park. I saw a tree with lots of flowers on it. And she tells them where she met God too. Before the children drop off to sleep, the stuff of their day has become the substance of prayer. They've entered a thin place, and the presence of God is very near. Finding thin places can be difficult. More often than not, thin places find us. Finding God takes practice. So here's a challenge for you all this week. Make a conscious effort every day. At the end of it, to look back over your day and think where the thin places might have been. Those places where you've seen God or felt his presence. What sights, what sounds, even what smells speak to you of God's presence? And I think you'll be surprised how often this is. As well as sensing God's presence, one of the other themes in Psalm 27 is a sense of protection, the being safe in God's presence that the psalmist has. We know from last week's Psalm of Lament that David, the psalmist, experienced real pressures. He was the king, but that didn't save him from doubts and worries. Worries that in last week's Psalm of Lament, he cries out to God about. In Psalm 27, we sense not so much lament about his worries, but comfort and confidence in knowing that God has his light and his salvation, and because of this, he will fear no one. The Lord will protect him and he will never be afraid. No matter what happens to him, he will trust God. A small child with his blankie or teddy will hug these tight when upset and worried. A sense of being safe with the familiar, the thing that centers them and makes things better. A trust that all will be well. And this is the place that the psalmist is with God. God is his comforter. Despite all that's going on in his life, all that is wrong with his life, God is his comforter and protector. The lesson we can take from this psalm is that we never give up on God. Easier than said than done, I know. Life throws us all kinds of curveballs and even full-on smacks in the face. But God is there with you. In that moment with you, for God is always in a thin place with us. He isn't a distant, far-off God. He's a very present, close-up kind of God. I have a wee book that I bought many years ago, and it's a funny little book about a little girl and a young man who found her wandering in the streets of London, having seemingly run away from home. And he takes her home to his family, and they look after her and they care for her. They try and find out where she came from, although from her battered little body, they really don't want her going back to where she came from. In the book, the man Flynn and the wee girl Anna have many conversations about God, or Mr. God, as she calls him. And so I want to read you one of those little conversations, and we can all learn something from Anna and her view of Mr. God. So I'm reading from this book. It's just a simple little book, Mr. God. This is Anna, this little passage. Mr. God made everything, didn't he? There's no point in saying I don't really know, so I said yes. Even the dirt and the stars and the animals and the people and the trees and everything, and the polywogs. The polywogs were those little creatures we'd seen under the microscope. I said yes, he made everything. She nodded her agreement. Does Mr. God love us truly? Sure thing, I said. Mr. God loves everything. Oh, she said. Well then, Why does he let things get hurt and dead? Her voice sounded as if she felt she'd been betrayed, a secret trust. But the question had been thought and it had to be spoken. I don't know, I replied. There's a great many things about Mr. God we don't know about. Well then, she continued, if we don't know many things about Mr. God, how do we know he loves us? I could see that this was going to be one of those times, but thank goodness she didn't expect an answer to her question, for she hurried on, them pollywogs, I could love them till I bust, but they wouldn't know, would they? I'm a million times bigger than they are, and Mr. God is a million times bigger than me. So how do I know that what Mr. God does? She was silent for a little while, and later I thought that at this moment she was taking her last look at babyhood. And then she went on. Finn, Mr. God doesn't love us, she hesitated. He doesn't really, you know, only people can love. I love Bossy, but Bossy doesn't love me. I love the pollywogs, but they don't love me. I love you, Finn, and you love me, don't you? I tightened my arm around her. You love me because you are people. I love Mr. God truly, but he doesn't love me. It sounded to me like a death knell. Damn and blast, I thought. Why does this have to happen to people? Now she's lost everything. But I was wrong. She had got both feet planted firmly on the next stepping stone. No, she went on. He doesn't love me. Not like you do. It's different. It's millions of times bigger. I must have made some movement or noise, for she levered herself upright and sat on her hunches and giggled. And then she launched herself at me and undid my little pang of hurt, cut out the useless spark of jealousy with the delicate sureness of a surgeon. Finn, you can love me better than any people that ever was, and so can I, can't I? But Mr. God is different. You see, Finn, people can only love outside and can only kiss outside, but Mr. God can love you right inside, and Mr. God can kiss you right inside, so it's different. Mr. God ain't like us. We are a little bit like Mr. God, but not much yet. Anna had, up until she'd met Finn, lived quite a hellish life. And yet she held on to a belief in God who loved her, not as we might love one another, but Mr. God can love you right inside, and Mr. God can kiss you right inside. She had lived in a thin space most of her life, and God was her protector. Our psalmist had lived a varied life and is at this point in a thin place, and in his thin place finds the protection of God. Whatever our thin places are, whatever we face in life, give praise to God in the tough times as well as the good times. The hard places as well as the easy places will bring us closer to him, making it more possible for us to feel his love right inside. To finish, I want to share a meditation on Psalm 27 from Sylvia Purdy, a Presbyterian minister from New Zealand. My God is my light. My God is my saviour. Why be afraid? My God is my safety. My God is my home. I won't be afraid. Sure, I might get teased. I might get hurt. But I don't need to be scared. Okay, people will call me names and will try to bully me, but I will stand tall. Some days are bad days, that's okay. Some people say nasty things, that's okay, because I am hidden with Jesus in the safest place, in the arms of God, like sleeping in a tent, like standing high in a tall rock, where nothing can get me. With God's care around me, I will sing and dance and shout for joy. With God's face shining on me, I will be patient through bad days. I will be strong. Take courage, my heart. Lean on God. People look into mirrors to see how they look. They look into the Psalms to find out who they are. With the Psalms, we bring into awareness an ancient sorrow, we release a latent joy. We use the Psalms to present ourselves before God as honestly and as thoroughly as we are able. Amen. We continue our worship, this time in our offering. Let us pray. Lord, you are the giver of all good things, light in the dark, courage in our fears, security in your presence. Thank you, Lord. That's all. Accept the gifts we now offer back, tokens of love that represent our gratitude to you. Use who we are and what we offer to build your kingdom all around, that others may sense your presence with them too. Hear our prayer. Amen. Our next hymn is 199, One Thing I Ask, 199.
Thank you.
we bring our prayers for the world to God. All through the ages, your people have had happy experiences and dreadfully sad experiences. All over the world today, circumstances remain the same, some with great joy, others with great sorrow, some with wealth and health, others with poverty and disease. O Lord, from our place of abundant blessing, we pray for others in their need. We pray for the hungry and the homeless, the battered and broken, the anxious and afflicted in body, mind, and spirit, that we might find ways into which to bring wholeness, healing, and health, justice, and equality. Everywhere we turn, there is some news story that raises alarm. This week in particular, there are those hurting because of the way words have been used. In a world where social media can be a force for good, it has been used by others to spread words of hate. Crowds at a political gathering have been whipped up to shout, "Send her back," causing alarm and fear, and the world looks on seemingly powerless to do anything. May it be like the psalmist today, that illumination can come from those who walk in darkness. May it be that just as we now pray, you might rescue those in trouble from the storms of life that threaten to overwhelm them. Release those who use words of hate from their fear of the other. Turn their hearts around and help them to see you in each and every person, and to see the value in everyone, not just those that they can use for their own gain. Lord, even in our own number today, there are those of us struggling with some particular demand or another. In a moment of silence, we pray for those around us and those unable to gather with us. With eyes closed, we block out the light of the day. With hearts open, we yearn for the brightness of your love to shine. Come, Lord of life. Come, Lord of salvation. In your mercy, hear our prayer. Hear our prayers when we call, O God. Be merciful and answer us, O Lord. Meet us in a thin place for the sake of those for whom we pray and the honour of your holy name, now and forevermore. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 465, Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
power of our Creator, the resilience of our Redeemer, and the invisible light of the Holy Spirit, send us out into the world and guide us in the right path this day and always.